I'd like to continue our study in the book of Romans, a book that's not very easily grasped or understood sometimes, and sometimes it takes a lot of labor to work the truth out of a portion of Scripture, and this week is no different. But I believe that the Lord has something for us that will help us and encourage us and to respond to the Lord. The Lord is continually working in our hearts and our lives, and we need to know that, and we need to appreciate that. And we don't want to have a hard heart. We don't want a stiff neck, because a hard heart and a stiff neck will always get us in trouble. And the reason we know that is because we've read about it in the Old Testament. The Jews were a people who had a hard heart and a stiff neck, and it got them in trouble. And I believe that we have enough troubles as it is, so we don't want to get sideways with the Lord. So I want to read Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and we will look at the first few verses of this portion. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, Thou shalt that thou mightest be justified in thy way, in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous, who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? Last Sunday we talked about and we studied some on the significance of circumcision. And we discovered that it's not physical circumcision that's significant, it's the circumcision of the heart. It's our heart that helps us to honor God or dishonor God. It's out of the heart that comes the decisions of and the issues of life. And so, this morning we want to just do a little bit of review from what we were talking about last Sunday to help us to understand more about what this portion of Scripture is dealing with. It says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? In Acts chapter 7 verse 8, it says that he gave him, that is Abraham, the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And I first, when I was reading that, I was wondering, where was the circumcision for Jacob, and where was circumcision for the 12 patriarchs? Well, it's there. When you read in the Old Testament, you find out that they were circumcised. But really the only time that you find out that we know that they were circumcised is because of the skullduggery of the 12 patriarchs with the men at Shechem, when they got them, to get circumcised, and then they killed all the males. But anyway, the covenant was given to Abraham apart from the law. And that's significant. We know that circumcision is associated with the law, associated with Moses, but it was not given to Moses. Moses just picked it up when he went into Egypt, the second time, coming back to Egypt to deliver them. Now, circumcision, what is circumcision? Well, Romans chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 tells us that Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness which is of faith, or of faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. And this word believe is in the present tense. It's not this circumcision and the righteousness which was of faith that Abraham had was not associated with Abraham's salvation. Abraham had already been saved living in the Ur of the Chaldees. And God called him after his salvation unto a land flowing with milk and honey that we later found out was flowing with milk and honey from the book of Exodus. But Abraham lived by faith. And circumcision is to be associated with living by faith. That he might be the father of all them that believe, present tense, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. So circumcision is a sign or a seal that is to be associated with the righteousness which is of faith. Now Romans is dealing with that because when it says in Romans 1 in verse 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just are those who are saved, who are being obedient, and they are also trusting God. They're believing that God will take care of them and provide their need. In other words, they're just and they're desiring to please God. So that's what circumcision, I believe, is dealing with and talking about. And it's a seal or a sign of the covenant that Abraham accepted from his God. And we too need to have circumcision, but not of the flesh, but of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. And that we find in Romans 2:29. "For he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." So circumcision has to do with the heart. Not the outward, but the inward. And it's the spirit of circumcision. The spirit has to do, are we pleasing God or are we not? First of all, you can't be disobedient and please God. And the second thing is, when we trust Him in our walk, we are pleasing Him in that way as well. Now, Proverbs just tells us that it is that we need to keep our heart. We need to guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. If we're not guarding our heart, our thoughts, our intents, our purposes, then our heart's going to lead us astray. I just think about the fact that we harden our heart. We can't really soften our heart. I was reading in Job 23 this week that it's God that softens the heart. And we're the ones who harden it. And we need to submit to the ministry of God in our hearts to make it soft. And so we need to keep our hearts with diligence through by the power of God, because out of it come the issues of life, the way we live. 1 Peter 3 tells us that we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. When I think about the heart, I'm talking about sanctifying God in my heart. I'm setting Him apart personally. And not only that, I am working on answers for the hope. That means the study of the Scriptures. You need to study the Scriptures. What is the hope of a child of God? The hope of a child of God is to stand in His presence approved. My hope is to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I know I am not hoping that I'm saved. When I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I was born into the family of God. I don't have to hope that. I know that. But now whether I stand in His presence approved or not is still an issue. because I can make shipwreck of the faith. I can stop pleasing God anytime. I can stop believing in the present tense anytime. The present tense can be stopped. And so it's through setting the Lord apart in our hearts and preparing ourselves not only to give an answer to those around us, but to stand in His presence approved as well. Because Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, and of course I've already been telling you that it's standing in His presence approved, and that's in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear well done. Therefore, I want to be a good servant of God. I want to be a faithful servant of God. And I want to be a satisfied servant of God. I tell you, it's not easy to be satisfied with a few. You want more. You want bigger. And you know what? God says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, I want to be part of that little flock. And so therefore we're not satisfied with the size of our ministry, when we really need to be satisfied with what God will provide and allow for us. Another thing too, when we think about living by faith and pleasing God, it says if we pass the test in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, so therefore I'm going to endure times of trials and testings of my faith. So when we consider what advantage then is the Jew, or what is it profits circumcision? Well, of course the Jew gave us the Word of God, the nation of Israel gave us the Word of God, and His statutes and judgments in Psalms 147, verses 19 and 20, where it says He showed His word unto Jacob and His statutes and judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as far as His judgments, they have not known them, and we are to praise the Lord for this. So it was much in every way that the blessings that the nation of Israel has been to us, and there is much blessing in the walk of faith before the Lord. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verse 3, it says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What Paul is doing, he's going back to the Old Testament, and he's drawing from the nation of Israel in their experience in leaving Egypt. Because as they traversed the desert, the wilderness, it says some did not believe. And the word believe is no faith. It's the negative ah plus the word faith. They weren't pleasing God in the wilderness. They were complaining. They were not satisfied with what God was providing. And so some did not please God. But shall their lack of faith discredit God's faithfulness to them? And of course Paul says no in the next verse. God forbid that this happen. It didn't happen. In other words, God's faithfulness is not depending upon my faithfulness. I may be unfaithful, but I guarantee you that God is going to be faithful to His Word. And even though I may fall, you don't have to. I may quit believing, that doesn't mean that you have to. And there are a lot of people today that are offended in churches because somebody said something to them wrong, or they were looked at in a way that they didn't think was appropriate. And so therefore they quit. That's not the way it should operate in your life. You should not allow someone to offend you for you to turn away from pleasing God. Now some did not believe. Believe what? Not to get saved. Some of them didn't believe that God meant what He said about the land flowing with milk and honey. And so therefore they didn't trust Him. And it was their unbelief. And in Psalms 95, verses 10 and 11, we see this. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. They didn't lose their salvation. They just did not get the better inheritance. They did not get into the land flowing with milk and honey. And notice it says that the people do err where? They erred in their heart. They departed from God in their heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 tells us that they heard the message of the better inheritance. And verse 1 it says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The gospel here is not the plan of salvation. These people were already, had come out of Egypt. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all had had the Passover. They all had been circumcised in the land of Egypt. So we're not talking about a gospel to tell people how to be saved. This is a gospel that has to do with their inheritance, a better inheritance. Remember this, when God promised to Abraham and his seed the land from the river Egypt unto the Euphrates River, you know what that included? That included not only the land flowing with milk and honey, which is in Canaan, that also included the wilderness. Because from east of the Jordan River to the Euphrates River was part of the land that God provided, promised to Abraham and his seed. So all that died in the land, in the wilderness were actually in the land that God promised to Abraham. It's just that it was not a very good place to live, out there with the lizards and it was dry. They were thirsty. They were hungry. Not much firewood. I don't know where they got all their firewood, but anyway, you know, it was not a desirable place. The land flowing with milk and honey was, and so the gospel has to do with their inheritance. We have been offered a better inheritance as well. We can have an earthly inheritance with the nation of Israel, or we can have a heavenly inheritance, ruling and reigning with Christ. That's what He offered the well done to, the good and faithful servants, being faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Where will they rule from? They will rule from the heavenlies. They'll have a heavenly inheritance. And so, what happened is this. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. A better inheritance was preached unto the writer of the book of Hebrews as well as unto them. And of course, types come in here on this. But the one of the things that I wanted to emphasize before we leave this verse is verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Some who left Egypt fell short of it. They didn't enter it. And Moses was one of them. He did not enter the land flowing with milk and honey. Why? Because of disobedience. And there are other factors as well, but that's primarily it. And God told him, don't even pray about it anymore. Don't talk to me about it. You're not going in. So we need to profit from this message of having a better inheritance by living by faith and being obedient. The just shall live by faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us that we will be denied ruling and reigning with Him if we do not endure. 2 Timothy 2, verses 12 and 13. If we suffer, and the word suffer there should be translated endure. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Deny us what? The privilege of ruling and reigning with Him. To endure means to be an overcomer. And it's the overcomers who will reign with Him in His throne. If you quit, if I quit, He will deny me. He will deny you. Deny you what? He will deny you positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom. And this is something that we need to keep before us all the time, because this motivates us to serve Him faithfully. That's even why in Hebrews 4:1 it says, "Let us therefore fear. Let us take heed, lest we forfeit entering into the blessing." It says, "If we believe not," this is the same word, no faith. "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself." What that is, He will to deny those that do not endure. He will deny them, and He will be faithful in doing that. You can count on it. If you don't endure to the end, you will be denied entrance into His kingdom and glory to rule and reign with Him. Now, Hebrews chapter 3 gives us further light about these that did not enter in verses 12 and 13. "Take heed, brethren." Notice that He's talking to brethren. Who are brethren? Brethren are saved, but more than being saved. A brother is one who is seeking to do the will of the Father. And you find that in the Gospels. So a brother is one who is seeking to do the will of the Father. Lest there be an evil heart of unbelief, no faith, departing from the living God. If you're in unbelief or not living by faith, you know what you're doing? You're departing from the living God and not drawing near, not drawing nigh unto the living God. But we exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We can become hardened. Brethren can have a hard heart. Brethren can depart from the faith. And there are a lot of people that say that if you depart from the faith, you were never saved. That's not true. Brethren, in other words, the Holy Spirit who wrote the book, called them brethren. And He knows whether people are saved or not. And it's brethren that can depart from the faith. Now, what happens when we depart from the faith? Just like them, they were cut off. "And to whom sware He that they should not enter into His rest, but to them that believe not?" In other words, this word "believe not" is not the same word that we've been studying. No faith. This is they were not persuaded. So we see that they could not enter in because of no faith. They were not persuaded of the land flowing with milk and honey. Therefore, they had no desire to please God to enter that land flowing with milk and honey. Now, in Romans chapter 11, there's some interesting concepts here that I think that will help us and that we can build on. This is talking about the nation of Israel. And it says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." This is talking about the nation of Israel. This is talking about an olive tree. And it's talking about those who are in the olive tree. This is being the nation of Israel. Okay? In verse 19, it says, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." Gentiles who are part of the wild olive tree were grafted into the natural olive tree. That's an unnatural thing. You always take the good stock and graft it into the bad tree. And that way you get good fruit. In other words, the wild olive tree doesn't bear good olives. But the Lord grafted the Gentiles into the good olive tree, and He'll make us bear good fruit. Okay? Now, He says, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in." And we could say that. Well, you said it, you said something well. In other words, this is well spoken. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And to be broken off means to be cut off. And thou standest by faith. To be grafted into the natural olive tree is to be there by faith, by pleasing God. Be not high-minded, but fear. Why? For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. Now remember this, the branches are holy branches. Breaking off the branch means He broke off a holy branch. We're not talking about lost and saved here. We're talking about losing benefits. To be cut off means to be denied entrance into the land. Those who were cut off in the wilderness did not enter the land. They died in the wilderness. But if God spared not the natural branches, verse 21, take heed lest he also spare not thee. In other words, we've been grafted in. Let me tell you, we can be broken off too. We can be broken out of the tree. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fell, severity. Toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. They did not continue in His goodness. I think it's, to me, it's important to find out what His goodness is so I can continue in it. Because I don't want to be cut off. I don't want to be denied God's blessing for me in His coming kingdom. You remember, the two sons of thunder, James and John, they desired to be on the right hand and on the left hand. They wanted to be the kings, because Jesus will be the King of Kings. They wanted to be the top king. And so there are positions of honor in place in the kingdom, okay? So that's why I'm emphasizing the fact that we can be disqualified from being on His right hand or on His left hand. Okay? Now, what does it mean to be in His goodness? Well, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 gives us a little insight into this. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Continuing in His goodness is continuing to seek Him with a soft heart so that we can change. That's what this is dealing with. I don't want to rebel against God with a hard heart and with a stiff neck. I want to continue to dwell with Him with a soft heart. I want to to experience His goodness so that I can change. That's what this is talking about here in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness or forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to do what? To repent." Now, He's not talking about lost people here. He's talking about saved people changing. Because if we don't change, we can expect the wrath of God. We can expect the judgment of God upon us. And so therefore, we want to continue in His goodness. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22, it says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. And them which fell, severity. They didn't enter into the land. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you will be broken off as well and be denied an entrance into the better inheritance." So His goodness encourages us to change like He would want us to be. In Romans chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief or no faith, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." Just remember this: you don't graft dead branches into live trees. This is not talking about getting a dead branch, one who's lost, into the tree to live. You graft live branches into live trees. And these holy branches that were cut off can be regrafted in again. When? When they respond to the goodness of God. When they repent and turn toward God. We can do that. We can fall away from God and we can turn back to God. And if we don't harden our hearts so that we no longer abide in His goodness, then we can too be grafted back in again and have a better inheritance in the coming kingdom. By the way, remember this. When a wild olive tree is grafted into a holy tree, what happens to us as a branch? We become holy branches then. Just like the natural branches were holy. Because who makes them holy? The tree. That's who makes them holy. And Christ is the tree. Okay? Now, I want to close with this. Psalms 31, verse 19. It says, "How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." You know, if we have lost the fear of God, we are going to depart from the living God. We do not want to lose the fear of God. We need to respect Him. We need to know if we turn away from Him, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. "But His goodness is laid up for them that fear Him, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men." What does the goodness of God encourages us to do? To trust Him. In difficult times, in good times. And it says, "How great is Thy goodness toward them that fear Thee." Now, what is He going to be talking about during the ages to come? Well, Ephesians 2:7 gives us a little light into that thought. He's going to be talking about that goodness. In Ephesians 2:7, "that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." The word kindness is the same Greek word as goodness. It's through His grace that He is good to us, to allow us to be grafted back into the tree. And He's going to be talking about that grace, that power, that will allow us to be grafted back into the branch or to the tree if we are broken off. And you know what? I want to give Him something to talk about. I want to continue in His goodness. And the verses that we were looking at this morning, we didn't cover them, but God will take vengeance. God will say no if we do not please Him. Because one day we'll want the best, but if we haven't lived like we want it now, we'll not have it then. May God help us to respond to His goodness to us. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the thoughts this morning to each of our hearts. Help us, Father, to be thankful for Your grace and be thankful, Lord, for Your goodness to us that helps us to change our life and adjust our life, to adjust our attitudes, to in such a way that we will be found pleasing to You. Help us, Father, by Your grace to continue to trust You and not to turn from You in unbelief. Thank You again for Your faithfulness to us. Help us, Lord, to endure. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.